Good morning and welcome here to the table for worship on this Sunday that the church calls Epiphany. Epiphany is technically celebrated on January the 6th, and it's a day in which we remember the Magi making their journey to visit Jesus in Bethlehem. The word Epiphany is a Greek word. It just means showing forth or appearance, and we're going to spend a lot of time around that story this morning as we move together into this first Sunday in the new calendar year. Our tradition teaches us that the Magi traveled by stars. And so we'll move into worship this morning in our bodies and minds and souls and hearts by first just inviting you to stand as you're willing or able and to join with me in a call and response. And we're going to do this a little bit differently. And this is especially for our readers in the room. There will be a couple of parts in this. So I have to think this through for a moment. You're going to be left. You're going to be right. We're going to be all, and I'll be one. And we'll try to move together in a back and forth response. And if you are on the wrong part, just speak it boldly, and we'll find our way. I'm saying that mostly to myself as we gather. So let us move together in this call to worship. How did you get here? I crawled, kissing the earth below me. Tell me again, how did you get here? I am here by God's grace and love's pull. Welcome home. This, friends, is God's house. There is room here for you. So let us worship our gracious God. So I'll invite us to continue standing as we move and worship together. This is our music team sharing Creator of the Stars of Night. Thank you. I'll invite us to be seated and we'll continue to move in worship. This is a poem from Reverend Sarah Speed and it is shared by Seska. So I invite us to continue to move in worship. This is called Field Notes in a Spirit of Prayer.
With tears in your eyes, you name all the bumps and zigzags your life has taken. With clenched teeth and a hummingbird pulse, you wake up and wonder, how did I get here? In the last 40 days of desert wandering, you say you haven't heard God's voice once. You say you miss when God was close, when God used to sing the harmony line. So you yell at the sky, begging God to drop a pin, to name the road, to draw you a map. You lament the way this life isn't easy. You ask me, was the road ever straight and narrow, or was it all a lie? But then you crest the mountain, and I don't hear from you for a while, because God was growing in the lilac field on the other side of the hill. God was scattered across the pebbles of the road you never planned to take. Isn't it amazing, you say? There are a million roads home, and God walks every single one of them.
Amen. I'll invite us to stand again in body or spirit as we move into a traditional carol, We Three Kings.
Oh, sacrifice. Hail sings alleluia, alleluia, the earth replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Westward leading still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Let's breathe in and breathe out. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. I was just wondering, and Penny told me one time that for a person to, a person needs 7 or 12 hugs. 12 hugs in a day. Yeah, in a day. They need it for human connection. The Sunday that I'm here and looking at so many people, I get more than 12 or more than so many hugs, and I love that. And the wondrous thing is that as we welcome each other with love and care, it's just wondrous and beautiful to see so many people. And you're welcome in this space with hugs and, you know, air hugs and all different types of hugs. But welcome. Welcome to the table. We welcome those online at thetable.live, and an air hug to you too. And also on Church Center app, our host today is Kara. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, we encourage you to text NEW to 916-452-5016. I'll pose if somebody wants to take that number or take a photo. Our administrative board made a $5,000 gift to support Habitant for Humanity Build for Unity. So, we'll have a volunteer team to help build along other communities of faith February 1st, 7th, and 8th. Spaces is limited. So space is very limited. Register today to join our team. So we do have a link on our website, so you can go and register yourself. Our co-pastors will lead a six-week series called Growing in Faith, which is designed to help newcomers to learn more about how we practice our faith here at the table. If you'd like to connect with others and explore our community more deeply, we'll begin our next Growing in Faith series on Tuesday, January 21st. Sign up is on our website, thetableumc.org. I invite you to remain seated as we continue to move in worship with our music team sharing Home by Another Road.
People call them wise, or counselors, or even kings. Well, anyway, those guys, they visited with Jesus. They sure enjoyed their stay. They warmed in a dream, the King Herod's scheme. They went home by another way. Yes, they went home by another way. the weather eye of a chart on high and go home another way. Steer clear of royal welcomes, avoid a big to-do. A king who would slaughter the innocents will not cut a deal for you. He really, really wants those presents. He'll comb your camel's fur until his boys announce they found trace amounts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. It's time to go home by another way, home by another way. Have to figure the guides to sing and play the odds and go home by another way. We can make it another way. Keep a weather eye of a chart on high and go home another way. Home is where they want you now. You can more or less assume that you'll be welcome in the end. Mustn't let the King Herod haunt you so. Or fantasize his features when you're looking for a friend. Well, it pleasures me to be here and sing this song tonight. They tell me that life is a miracle, and I figure that they're right. But Herod's always out there, he's got our card on file. It's a lead pipe cinch if we give an inch, or Herod like to take a mile. It's time to go home by another way, home by another way. We got this far to a lucky start, but tomorrow's another day. We can make it another way. Safe home, as they used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on.
That was beautiful. Maybe you and I can be wise guys too. Amen. My name is Bob Martinez, and right now I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly play sanctuaries as our musicians provide a little walking music. I want to remind you that families that we receive, I want to remind our families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall throughout worship at both 9:30 and at the 11. And godly play takes place right now upstairs, designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Our reading this morning comes from the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel. I'll be sharing from the updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version. Now, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to be shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that had been seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Thanks, Bob. As our musicians move down, I'll invite us into a spirit of prayer. Loving God, may the depths of your spirit move freely in the words of my mouth and in the meditations of our hearts. May our lives, may this time be lived in alignment with your hope for the world. We offer this in your creative ways and many names. Amen. Sarah and Ellen were away last week, and I want to acknowledge that before we went away, I got to go to the eye doctor, and I'm in that space. I have contacts in, I don't have bifocals, but the words are a little blurry, and so I'm just going to say that out loud. A couple of you will be with me in it. Others of you are like, "What is this old guy talking about?" And that's okay, but I may or may not have something to share written in front of me. We'll see how it goes. Friends, this is our final Sunday in a worship series that we've been working on together over the last weeks, that what the church calls Advent, the time of preparing for Christmas. And then Christmas is not just the day, it is an entire season, and we find ourselves moving to the end of that season and then officially moving tomorrow into what the church calls Epiphany, January 6th. And we've been surrounded in the sanctuary throughout this time by these amazing, stunning quilts that have been on loan with our community from Karen Morrison, who's part of our community here. And I, for one, am going to miss having the quilts. I walked in yesterday, and they've been hanging just stunningly around the sanctuary, like pieces of art, as kind of a reminder that with our gaze and time, they can work on us. And now they're mostly folded here. I imagine them as gifts in this way. When we first gathered around this worship series, it was early in the fall, and there were a couple of artists, and Karen and our artist-in-residence, Eric Castellanos, and I were over in the fireside room, and Pastor Linda had talked plenty of times about Karen's quilting, but Linda loves all things knitting in a way that I kind of don't tell her, but I tend to just kind of gloss over that. Like, oh, she really likes knitting, so she likes quilting too. And I didn't really differentiate a lot, to be totally blunt, between the two. And then Karen pulled out one of her first quilts, and I was like, whoa, that is stunning. And then I could see Eric's eyes as he moved and wondered. I could just see it working inside of him of how are we going to share these quilts in a way that will help our community to see what the Spirit might have in store for them. We did not plan initially to focus on one particular quilt each Sunday, but we kind of stumbled unexpectedly into that. And before I had really spent much time thinking about each of the Sundays, we selected this particular quilt for today. Many of us have been here throughout this time, but I want to stretch us back to how we've journeyed and just kind of quickly take us through. We began back in the beginning of December with the angel Gabriel pronouncing a simple and life-transforming message that is so elusive for so many of us to take in to the depths of our beings. And that blessing is, you are a blessing. It's so elusive for so many of us. And then we turn from there to the quilters of this little village called G's Bend, and we held their story alongside the book of Ruth to remind ourselves, you can't go alone. And then we unpack the story of John the Baptizer and his very particular role of preparing the way for Jesus. And we held that alongside a quilt that Karen created called Coast to Coast B. This was back early in global pandemic when we were all physically isolating from one another. And these folks were mailing parts of the quilt all around the country. And then it was coming together, this collaborative quilt. And so like those collaborative quilters and like John the Baptizer, we had to remember that we're to do the work that is yours to do. Not everything. Do the work that is yours to do. And then we came to the story of Joseph and Mary, and we held that alongside this quilt called 100 Days, 100 Blocks, which for Karen was an exercise in departing from her own preferences and customs. Instead of diving into a project, she worked on it for a few minutes a day for 100 days. It was not what she wanted to do. And she, like Joseph, had to come to trust that hope is worth the risk. And then on Christmas Eve, we unveiled this quilt that you all created. We're all now quilters. I think that's amazing. We are all now quilters. And together we were working on this, and we unveiled this on Christmas Eve to see that in spite of the fact that most of us never saw it, there is a beautiful star in the quilt that we have been working on together. We will receive these amazing gifts, these hand-folded stars. We have a few more. If you weren't here on Christmas Eve, I hope you'll take one with you as a reminder of this blessing that is the Christmas story's good news. Love knows your name. And then last Sunday, Pastor George encouraged us to face the brokenness of the world, which can take us, as we do this together, into opening up into a deep joy, a deep laughter even, that comes only through moving through authentic and real struggle and even sorrow. Well, without thinking about it much, I identified this as our quilt for Epiphany Sunday. The truth is, I didn't know what it was called, and I only saw a picture of it when I initially did so. So I only saw this middle portion of it, and I just loved the colors. And I thought, Epiphany is about showing forth. This is a quilt in which everything is, the colors are showing forth. It seems like you could draw a direct straight line from these colors showing forth to Epiphany. If this is what Epiphany is, this could be it. I had no idea that it was that tiny. I was like, whoa. When I came back and looked at it again, I thought, is that really the same quilt that I've been looking at on my iPad? And I could see the whole quilt. I was initially just drawn to the colors shining forth, the brightness of the sky that you see above the cityscape. Everything about it seemed to me to just say Epiphany, showing forth. And I wonder what you might see as you look upon Karen's quilt, Cityscape. I chose it without really reflecting much on the story of the Magi. I was thinking more broadly about Epiphany as these signs of God showing forth. And I had not read the ancient blessing that had been assigned for this Sunday from the folks at Sanctified Art. Their blessing is, the road isn't straight. And I was like, well, dang, because I was trying to draw a straight line from those colors showing forth to where we were today. But it turns out, sitting with this quilt, it's been working on me in unexpected ways these last days. And I find myself continuing to uncover deeper and deeper connections with this ancient story of the Magi within it. Part of that came as I turned to the words and reflections that Karen shared with me about this little quilt called Cityscape. She shared this. The city and the shadows, both pieced, are easily visible from a distance. During the quilting, I added additional color with the quilting threads to extend up city lights. I love how adding in different layers and textures can show different elements of a quilt from a distance or up close. Well, I was initially drawn to just the colors showing forth as I held the actual quilt alongside Karen's reflection. I started to see something that had been right in front of me that I'd been missing the whole time. The center of this quilt is shadows. All of these are shadows. It seems obvious, but I confess the obvious isn't always obvious to me. And something similar might be said about this ancient story of the Magi as well. They're called kings often, but the more accurate translation, and James Taylor kind of evokes this, is Magi, wise ones, folks who follow the stars to visit Jesus in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is house of bread. And the feel of the carol that our music team, it evokes shining forth to me. It just feels like those colors moving forward, star of wonder, star of light. It feels like cityscape shining forth, showing forth. But then it gets to verse 4. And everybody kind of got a little quieter. I think that's the verse we mostly skip. Let's do verse 1, 2, 3, and 5 would be how that often got framed in the churches that would put the little markers up in the back of the sanctuary. Verse 4 says, "Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb." See, right in the middle of this story is a kind of shadow that we mostly tend to miss, or at least I do. My image is of three kings, little kids dressed in costume. And the one brings gold, and that makes sense. Gold seems good. And the next one brings frankincense. And I think, I don't even know what that is, but okay. Frankincense. They say it was used by priests. And then the other brings myrrh, but by then I already didn't know what frankincense was, so who really cares what myrrh is? Let's just go back to the gold. Who knows what myrrh is? Well, those earliest followers of Jesus, those folks that the Gospel of Matthew was written to, when they heard this story, they would have known the depth of the foreshadowing that was happening. The myrrh would have stopped them in their tracks. They wouldn't have sung the next verse without pausing there. This symbolic foreshadowing. See, Jesus is given wine mixed with myrrh at the cross in Mark's gospel. And in John's gospel, the dead body of Jesus is wrapped in myrrh. The myrrh casts a pernicious shadow over this whole story. Our famous carol, it has us sing three kings traversing from afar. But the truth is, in Matthew's gospel, there's only two kings presented. It's an either or, two kings. These three that are coming, well, actually, it's not three. It could be a whole group. What most scholars suspect is like it's a community traversing from afar. They are foreigners, outsiders, culturally and religious others who come to pay homage to Jesus, to the child. And we often put this in a sense of like this, they're coming to worship, but there was a liberationist sense as well. They were coming to wonder, if is this the one that might lead their people to freedom too? See, this Herod had taken over all kinds of lands. We know that they were likely like astronomers from what we would call, they call Persia, or today it's present-day Iran. That's where they're coming from. They're not kings at all. They're magi or wise ones. Folks who are paying so much attention to the movement of the Spirit that even the stars are helping to guide their way. And this, friends, is a powerful caution to followers of Jesus. Whenever we imagine ourselves as the insiders in God's story, because right here we see that from the very beginning, it is those deemed other, those deemed cultural, religious, outsider, who are already woven into the fabric of God's grace, God's story from before the beginning. The outsiders are the insiders. So we're left not with three kings, but with two. King Herod, or an infant king, rumored to be king of the Jews. King Herod casts an ominous shadow over this whole story. And from the beginning, it would seem then that we have a stark choice that we need to grapple with. Will we pay homage to King Herod, who rules with military might, or to a vulnerable child born in this ancient little village that was no bigger, no more significant than G's Bend today? Lest we imagine that these shadows are confined to Jesus's day, Reverend Steve Garness Holmes shared a poem this week. It's called Epiphany, and it draws a through line from the Herods of then to this day. So I invite you to hear his words. Herod is still king, no doubt about that. The lovely story of the visit of the Magi will be followed by slaughter in Bethlehem. The little baby will have to grow up and go out into the world that will crucify him, overseen by another Herod. How odd that Epiphany, January 6th, is the day a mob invaded the Capitol and now has taken over. Herod wins again. But the end of the story isn't there in political power and violence. The end is here, at the beginning, under the nose of the king of dominance, the kings of wisdom kneel and pay homage to the king of love. Herods and their mobs will come and go, but love remains and remains in power. Like we think we've conquered nature, but she rules with her eternal laws. So love reigns despite what despots think. Love frightens those who want to dominate. It undermines power structures and erodes hierarchies. It is the energy of the universe, and magi see it even in the stars. Herod is still there, still frightened. Kneel to a greater king. It seems to me that the quilts which have been accompanying us over the weeks of Advent and through the season of Christmas are physical reminders of the power for love to remain, for love to reign. It's something of what it looks like, I want to suggest, to kneel to a greater king. One of my favorite stories that Karen shared about one of the quilts, and it's in this, actually it's not in this stack. One of the stories that she shared was about Karen and David's child was born, and Karen's mother quilted a quilt to gift to her grandchild. Well, that child is now in elementary school, and so the quilt no longer fits their bed. But over time, that child still plays with the quilt. They use it to build forts. They use it to tuck in their stuffed animals. And Karen says, in that way, it has grown with him. Love does that. It grows with us. within us, among us. Love reigns when a grandma cares for a grandchild with all the care of quilting a blanket that will keep that little baby warm, to offer comfort as a physical expression of love and care. And love reigns and it remains when a parent receives that gift and then wraps their child in that embrace. And love reigns and remains and grows with us as the child receives the gift, allowing the gift to grow with them. When I first looked at Cityscape, I just saw colors shining forth. And there's something to that. But this tiny quilt grows on me. The shadows are giving me a lot to wonder about in our political landscape, in the world, but also in just day-to-day life of accompanying people we love. The light that is stitched into the fabric, it emanates nuance. And on the surface of this, even the lines that appear straight take turns. It's a visual reminder. The road isn't straight, friends. Seemingly every time I look, I find something new in this tiny little quilt. The Magi, they were studying stars, not quilts. But my sense is they were doing it with a kind of careful and patient and contemplative attention that might just help guide us to the kind of love that sustains and remains in the world today. And so I want to invite you to journey with me, not with the gift of a quilt, but with a different kind of a gift that might go with you and you might hold carefully with attention, contemplative patience, and it might, like the stars did, show you a way forward in the year ahead. And this gift is called a star word. We have these star words placed here all over the table in the front. And we also have them in the back as we move toward communion. They'll be in both places. We have the star words for those that are gathering online. We have this really cool little thing. Lisa, you would love this thing. You push a button and it spins a wheel and it gives you your star word. It's amazing. So you could go to find your own star word right now on the bulletin on your phone and you can click this button and it'll like flash to you. I thought it was really cool. We've actually been trying this for a couple of years now. And this practice of star words, I learned this. I didn't really know this to be the case, but it's actually taken off, I guess, particularly in Protestant churches in North America. This has become a custom in a lot of spaces, and it's become more and more popular over the last decade. I honestly had no idea. But for me, it's been formative, and I want to acknowledge first that my first word that I drew was the word empathy. And for people that know me, this was not the word I wanted to draw. And so you might draw a word and you might think, oh, this is a terrible word. And that might be the word that you exactly need to work on for the year ahead. And there is not going to be anyone here to prevent you from changing your word out. But it could be an exercise in trust. It could even, for some of us, this is important, not for all of us, but for some of us, like, I can tend toward a desire to control things, and so I'd like to have all these cards face up so I can find my correct card, but they're all face down, and you won't see the word that is yours, and Jan has prepared them here for us and also in the back of the sanctuary, and our hope is that you'll feel led to find a star word, or more accurately, that you'll let one of the star words find you, which is more often how this whole God thing works anyways. Our hope is that your star word will be a guide in the year ahead, that it'll work on you over time, like the stars guided the Magi, like the quilts have guided us through this series. My hope is that something like how Karen's quilt Cityscape has continued to work on me these weeks, our star words will guide us all in the year ahead to glimpse the mystery of the divine a little more tangibly, to trust that indeed love remains and remains in power, whatever the Herods and despots and mobs might decree. See, God uses a variety of ways to guide us and to speak to us. And some of us come from traditions where we're mostly trained to pray by speaking to God. And this form of prayer might be a little uncomfortable initially for you if that's how you've been shaped. I want to acknowledge that. But this is deep in our religious tradition of trying to listen for how God might speak to us in ways that are often unnoticed or that we rush right past. We try here at the table to pray in a lot of different ways, and this is just one. The Magi followed the stars in their day, and the star led them home by another way. Your path in the coming year, maybe it'll be direct, maybe even straight. But for most of us, the twists and turns are unavoidable. They're here. And Kyla Craig is a journalist, and her writing has been shaping and guiding our time over the season. So I want to invite us to just have a closing word from her in this moment. She says this for us. In this new year, may you find comfort knowing that like the Magi, a light will guide you home. Rest in the hope that you never truly go alone. The love that knows your name goes alongside you and before you. Let this assurance fill you with peace and courage, open to the new and unexpected paths that God may reveal in the days to come. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Debbie is going to help us as we prepare to move to the table together. Friends, we find ourselves invited once again here to God's table. No matter how the road has twisted or turned, it somehow always leads us here to God's abundant grace. But it's no surprise, at least it shouldn't be, that we've ended up at God's table because God is around every corner. Like the Magi, we travel not knowing where our journey will end, but we can trust. We can trust God to provide respite along the way, in bread shared, in a cup poured out, in a community's warm embrace. We worship a God of radical welcome whose arms are always already wide open. There's space for you here. God is always saving you a seat. So bring your weary feet, your grateful hearts, your hunger, your curiosity, your joy, even your sorrow. Bring your whole self to this space. Come. Our hope is that we'll meet God here. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit and to join with us in sharing what the church calls a prayer of confession to help prepare us for communion or common union. Let us pray with one voice. God of new beginnings, we admit that we often follow the well-worn path simply because others have been there before. Sometimes this is holy and humble, but there are days when a new path needs to be tread. On those new beginning days, O God, give us the courage to follow your star. Give us the courage to go home by another way. Give us the courage to kick up some dust and walk in a new direction for the sake of justice, love, and neighbor. For when we are doing a new thing, we want to have the courage to follow. With hope in our hearts, we wander, we travel. Amen. Dear travelers, no matter the road that you've taken, the steps that you've made, or the paths you've traveled, there is nowhere you go that would land you outside of God's love. So let us hear and trust and even celebrate the good news of the gospel together. Let us pray with one voice this prayer of assurance. Regardless of the path we travel, of how lost we may get, or the twists and turns along the way, we do not walk alone. We are loved. We are forgiven. We have every chance to begin again. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within each of us and within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with those near to you.
Our traveling companion, we follow every path in search of you. Sometimes we run as fast as we can, taking every shortcut like a child eager to arrive at a promised destination. Sometimes we find ourselves wandering, unsure of whether we're following the trail or forging our own way. Sometimes we just need to lie down and stare up at the stars, resting before we set out once again. Wherever we are, we know you are right beside us, God. You have been with us all along, leaving breadcrumbs of grace. So let the taste of this bread and this cup open our eyes to the places that we've already encountered you. Let these star words remind us to seek you out in even the most unexpected of places. Guide us, invite us, challenge us in the year ahead. Remind us that we are yours, your beloved, whom you have claimed, redeemed, and called good. And so we lift our voices in celebration of you this day.
And blessed is the gift made known in your child Jesus. In the routine act of breaking bread and sharing from a cup, he called us to celebrate with great joy your redeeming love that restores all creation to you.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ.
On that night, when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner, bread and wine, and he blessed it and gave thanks to God and said, "I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me." Invite us to pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples. We encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your own heart. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pour your spirit upon each of us gathered in this moment and over the gifts which are before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
I invite you to be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people. All means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have. Please know that whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to participate. We are all God's children, and this is God's table, open to all. In short, as Pastor Linda always says, you can't make a mistake. We'll have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back of the sanctuary. Each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers in the center, and juice is in each cup. After breaking off a piece of the bread and dipping it into the juice, please make your way around the sides to pray with candles for as long as you might like, or return to your pews whenever you are ready. Two special notes for today. First, we still have hand-folded stars, which were created by Karen Morrison and a beautiful team. Many of us received a star as a gift on Christmas Eve. If you weren't here in person or would like to take one home to someone you care about, please receive a star from the baskets this morning. And as Pastor Matt mentioned, the star words are here and in the back. As we move for communion and prayer, we invite you to pause at each space and draw a star word.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you. And this is the cup of God's love and healing and forgiveness poured out for you and for the whole world. Debbie, the bread of life broken for you and God's love poured out for you and for the whole world. Amen. we encourage those praying with candles to stay or remain in a spirit of prayer as long as you might need or desire. There are a few more star words here in the front, and there might be in the back as well. So we'll invite you to be brave after worship. If you weren't ready to come across this imaginary line, you can do that in a moment after we close with a song. So God, may your spirit continue to stir us. May these words guide us, that whatever our initial response to the word might be, whether it's excitement or bafflement, may your spirit move with us and guide us to find the road that you would long for us to traverse. So we offer this time in your creative ways and many names. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, I didn't do any of that, so just keep going. No, just go right into that.
Okay.
Yeah. The road isn't straight. You got to figure it out sometimes. People, we're trying to embody this.
It's fine. It's all fine. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to give generously to support our ministries at the table. Our Christmas offering this year is divided between two important ministries, United Methodist Committee on Relief and Opening Doors. Today is our final day to receive gifts for our Christmas offering. The new year is a beautiful opportunity to prayerfully consider making a deep commitment to our community of faith. The deep commitment forms are available on our website, thetableumc.org. We are grateful for each deep commitment already received, and we hope you will join us in sharing
good timing
together at the table in the year ahead. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, we encourage you to text NEW to 916-452-5016. If you would like a snack, please go out and visit Rise Up Brett. They're just outside the sanctuary door. As we prepare to depart, I invite you to stand in body or spirit. Our music team will send us out this morning with an arrangement by Solabel for this little light of mine.
And I want to share a couple. These are some really exciting things that Debbie just shared with us. So our deep commitments, our administrative board set out this really ambitious goal of having 80 families make deep commitments this year. And this goal of raising $550,000 in deep commitments for next year. We are so close to the edge of that. We have eked along to the edge of that, which is remarkable because it was a very bold, ambitious way to go. And we are so grateful for those that have already come in. And our Christmas offering has already gone over $20,000. So we'll have a final number, but it's a remarkable way that your generosity is welcoming refugees and responding to crisis. So may that light of God that is within us as a community and that is all around us shine.
This little light of mine, let it shine. This little light of mine, let it shine. This little light of mine, let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Everywhere I go, let it shine. Everywhere I go, let it shine. Everywhere I go, let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Sister's soul, let it shine,
let it shine.
In my sister's soul, let it shine. In my sister's soul, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
friends, the truth is the way was actually never straight. The twists and turns are with us, and so too is the light and the love of God. So may we go from this place, guided by these star words, to live ever more deeply in connection with the love of God that remains and sustains. Go in peace. Amen.